Second lesson is recorded in the letter to the Hebrew Christians, chapter 13, verses 20 and 21 will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. But here we see and we give thanks for the shepherds, the faithful shepherds that the great shepherd of the sheep provides for us. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Carefully consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as men who will give an account. Obey them so that they may do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us because we are sure that we have a good conscience and because in everything we want to conduct ourselves in an honorable way. I urge you to do this even more so that I may be restored to you quickly. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, in connection with his blood, which established the eternal testament, may he equip you with every good thing to do his will, as he works in us what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What's the difference between good and great? Now, you may have a hard time describing that difference, but you probably know it by seeing it. For example, what's the difference between a good meal and a great meal? Maybe it's the particular ingredients that are used, maybe it's the manner of presentation, maybe it's the quality of the food, but there's just something that makes it, takes it to that next level. Or what's the difference between a good team and a great team? Maybe it's the ability of the athletes on that team. Maybe it's the strength of their victories and who they've defeated. Maybe it's the number of championships that that team has won. But there's a difference between those that are good and those that are great. Or what's the difference between a good job and a great job? A good job done and a great job done. Now maybe it's a matter of the craftsmanship of the work. Maybe it's the precision that's done. Or maybe it's simply the durability that the work that's done is going to last not just for a couple of weeks or a few months, but it's going to last for years and years. Good and great. Like I said, it's not always easy to identify the difference, but you usually know it when you see it. You can usually tell if you just step back and look at the bigger picture. Maybe you have a chance to compare the two. You can tell this is a good meal, but this is a great meal, or this is a good job done, but wow, that's a great job done. Or maybe you put it to the Goldilocks test. Too hot, too cold, just right. It's that just right combination of differences between good and great that raises to that next level and make all the difference in the world. Whether that's a good meal, a good job, a good team, whatever. Now today's no different. Now this week in our readings from God's Word, they remind us that how God shepherds his sheep through his Word. We've seen how God takes care of his flock. We see how God provides shepherds for his flock. We see how God loves his flock. But in all of that, in all of those lessons, we've also seen through all of that, we see the one who we know as our good shepherd. And as I mentioned before with the kids and the children's message, you know, this image of the good shepherd and his sheep, that's an image that has brought comfort to God's people for centuries. But is Jesus just a good shepherd? Well, the writer to the Hebrews has something to tell us today, and he reminds us. He has us step back and take a look at the big picture to see that, yes, Jesus is our good shepherd, but he's even more than that. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. Now, what more could have been said? Anti-Christian persecution was increasing against God's people. Some Christians had lost property. Others faced jail time. Perhaps some had lost jobs. Many were facing ridicule and rejection. who knows, perhaps even some of their places of worship were no longer available to them anymore. But the heat was turning up. You kind of see it just going up higher and higher like that. And it was only a matter of time before this more indirect anti-Christian persecution became something more personal, something more physical. Now, most of the people that received the letter to the Hebrews, most of them had been Jews before. And the Roman government at that time, that was a legal religion in the empire. You could do that without fear of being persecuted or losing your ability or right to worship. And so these Christians were wondering, should I maybe go back? Go back to that legal safety of Judaism and the Old Testament practices. I mean, after all, they do point to Jesus, don't they? Or do I stand firm and keep following Jesus at risk of my property, at risk of my family, perhaps even at risk of my own life? As they wrestled with this question, with what they were going to do, the Lord sent them a letter to encourage these embattled Christians. At the same time, he also proved to them beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus is always going to be the better option. In the face of doubt and hardship, they needed to see that Jesus was their great shepherd, greater than what they had had in the Jewish faith, certainly greater than those who were trying to persecute them. And so the writer, he lays it all out for them. But we're at the end of the letter here, and he's coming to the end of that letter, and he's wondering, how can I sum it all up? How can I bring this all together? And well, of course, the Holy Spirit provides him the right words to write. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, in connection with his blood, which established the eternal testament, may he equip you with every good thing to do his will, as he works in us what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. That blessing, that prayer at the end of that letter was exactly what those struggling Christians needed to hear. It's exactly what we need to hear. But what is it that made Jesus that the great shepherd of the sheep? What made Jesus and what he did so very great that the writer of the Hebrews points back to him again and again and again throughout his letter, and finally even piles it all into again and again, even in this single sentence of prayer and blessing? Well, see for yourself the difference between good and great. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. What made Jesus great? Well, he was the servant who worked out our salvation. Now, there's nothing great about being a servant. It doesn't come to us naturally. It's not necessarily something we want to do, because being a servant means you are at the beck and call of another person all the time. You are subject to them. You have to do what your master wants rather than what you want. Now, often the work is hard, or it's dirty, or it's unpleasant. There's no glory in it unless your master grants it to you. And so then, why would Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of the universe, why would he be so willing to become a servant? It all starts with us. See, when the Lord created Adam and Eve back in the beginning, he created them to love and serve him perfectly. You know, they were one with the will of their holy and loving God. For the only time in our world, there was perfect peace between God and people. And they were perfectly in line. They knew what God's will was for their every thought, every word, every action. They knew what it was already, but that all changed when Adam and Eve disobeyed God's holy will. God had given them a single command: don't eat from this tree, just reserve this one for me. And yet they disobeyed him and ate from it. Now when they no longer loved him perfectly, well, that broke, that destroyed that perfect peace with God. Instead of willingly doing what is pleasing to God and eagerly serving him, they did the exact opposite. Now, unfortunately, that disobedience didn't just stay with Adam and Eve, but it infected all the generations after them, down to you and me, and it's infected all of us here. Not a single one of us is righteous in God's sight. Not a one. Every one of us has turned away from him and his holy will. We are all worthless in his sight because not a single one of us here has even a drop, an ounce of goodness in us. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah described us this way: we all have gone astray like sheep. Each of us has turned to his own way. By nature, we are all wandering around like sheep, headed for death. Our peace with God is broken. Our death is demanded and deserved for our disobedience. By nature, we are God's enemies. And yet, God loves us too much to abandon us to eternal doom. Only one who could serve the Lord perfectly and then substitute his perfect life and his holy death for ours could change all of that. And so God did the impossible. He sent his Son, his one and only Son, to be that servant, to be a good, and what a good servant Jesus was. In fact, Jesus wasn't just a good servant, he was a great Savior. He had to become a human being to put himself under his own holy law, and so Jesus willingly allowed, he set aside his glory, he set aside his power and allowed himself to be conceived in the womb of a virgin named Mary. Imagine that. The Lord of heaven and earth puts himself in such a position of weakness, just as we were in the wombs of our own mothers. And then he had to live perfectly at every stage of life. He had brothers and sisters. He knew what it was like to be around them. He had friends. He had classmates. He had neighbors, people, all kinds of people. Every stage of his life, though, he couldn't tell them what we would want to say to them if they weren't so nice to us. Instead, he had to be perfect in every thought, every word, every action, in every stage of life. And his own blood had to be poured out. It wasn't just the perfect life. He had to die. He had to go to the cross. His own life had to be taken to pay for our guilt, and so he willingly went to the cross to die. God willed it, so Jesus did it. By pouring out his blood on the cross, Jesus paid the penalty of our sin. He reestablished peace between God and us, between God and humanity, and his precious blood would have been wasted in Calvary's dust if he had remained in the tomb after that, but Jesus had to rise from the dead. And his resurrection from the dead is living proof that sin's penalty has been paid, that the gates of heaven have been opened to us, that we have been reconciled with God. And by his cross and empty tomb, Jesus has sealed our salvation and restored our peace with God. For the Lord has charged all of our guilt to him. The Lord took all of our guilt, all of our sin, put it on Jesus. He paid for it and left it behind in the tomb. This is what made Jesus great. This is what made him not just a good servant, but a great Savior. This is what makes Jesus the great shepherd of the sheep. And now Jesus deserves the highest praise and the greatest glory. By faith in him, we trust that great shepherd completely, no matter what happens in our lives. We can be absolutely sure that the great shepherd who gave his life for us and who took that life back up again for his sheep will lead and feed us until he brings us to the green pastures and living waters of heaven. In Christ, you can see the difference between good and great. His heavenly Father certainly did, but in accepting what Jesus accomplished, God doesn't just give us a great shepherd to trust and follow. No, he gives us a great shepherd who is also the one who equips us to work in his service. Going back to that image of the servant, who of us would want to be a servant? It doesn't come to us naturally. I want what I want, and I want it to happen. After all, I'm free. Why would I want to submit myself to anyone's will, let alone to the will of a holy God? Again, we look to Jesus who served perfectly for you and for me. He knows you can't possibly serve him on your own. He knows on your own you can't possibly turn from your sins in repentance and serve him and obey his commands willingly and thankfully. And so the great shepherd of the sheep does what we cannot. He equips you and equips me to serve him with a thankful heart. He equips you through the studying and hearing of his word. He equipped you at your baptism when he cleansed you of all your guilt, drowned in you that sinful nature and raised to new life, a new person, eager and ready to serve him every day in every way. He equips you through his holy supper as he gives himself to you, as he forgives your guilt, as he strengthens your faith and assures you that you will be in heaven someday. Now, the Apostle Paul, he explains that it's God who works all this in us. He says, in fact, it is God who is working in you both to will and to work for the sake of his good pleasure. The faith God requires and the fruits of faith he desires, he gives and grows in your heart by his grace. And the great shepherd doesn't just equip you to be good enough to do something right every once in a while when you happen to think about it and it's convenient. Now, Jesus empowers you to serve to his great glory in every aspect of your life. Jesus equips you with the necessary gifts to do his will, and he calls you to use those gifts in every station in your life. For example, consider your God-given callings and the unique gifts that God has given to you. Are you a parent or a child? Well, if you're a parent, use your gifts for the sake of your children, to care for your children and to train them up in the ways of the Lord. If you're a son or daughter, use those gifts to obey and honor mom and dad, whom the Lord has placed over you as his representatives. Are you a spouse? Use your gifts to faithfully care for and love and support your husband or wife. Are you a friend? Use the gifts God has given to you to support, to encourage, to strengthen your loved ones in your life. Are you an employee? Use your gifts to serve your employer faithfully, even when they're not watching, but serve knowing that the Lord is watching over you. Or if you're an employer, use your gifts to treat your employees well. Are you a citizen? Use your gifts in God's service for the good of your community, for the good of your state, or your nation, or your neighborhood. Are you part of our King of Kings family? Use your gifts not only to share the good news of the Good Shepherd, but also use your gift to support the work of the gospel ministry here in Central Florida and beyond. Use your time, your talents, your temple in God's service as we go forward with God's help into a challenging yet exciting future. Whatever your callings in life might be, the God of peace equips you to carry them out in thankful joy each and every day. And that's what the writer of Hebrews was praying for his readers, and that's the same prayer for you, that the Lord would equip you in every way. And he does all of this, the Lord does all of this through Jesus Christ. Not through your own works, not through your own abilities, not through your own ability to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but only through Christ does God give you pardon, peace, and power. He does that for all his people. In Christ Jesus, we see that the Good Shepherd is our great shepherd, and therefore to him be glory forever and ever. Amen.